All participant lines have been muted.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning to our U.S. audience. This is Christian Teig hosting the first quarter 2012 conference call for CompuGroup. The schedule today is that I will present, go through the presentation, which will take about 20 minutes. And then, as we usually do, we will go on to a Q&A session thereafter. So we can start immediately going into the presentation, page one. First page, numbered page two, the key figures for the first quarter. So we've had a good broad-based positive start to 2012. Top line growth is 24%, of which 6% is organic growth. Operating margin is up 8 percentage points, which drives the almost 90% increase in EBITDA. And then I guess from there on, numbers are relatively predictable down to our EPS of 16 euro cents for the quarter. Moving on to slide numbered three, we see here the revenue per quarter and then the profitability as measured in EBITDA margin percentage. And we are especially pleased about the improving profitability and how we continue the positive trend that we had in the second half of 2011. This has been a firm commitment from management, and we did deliver accordingly in the first quarter this year with 23% EBITDA margin. We, on page four, slide four, we go on to some of our normal housekeeping items. The gross margin remains stable as there is no major change to revenue mix or business model, which means that we will have a gross margin of 80%, 81%, 82% on our sales. So no surprises here. Moving on to the next slide, slide five, personnel expenses. They do increase, but this is due entirely to the new employees in companies that we have acquired over the last 12 months. So that is a natural progression. Of course, in this quarter, we have the new employees in Holland and in Italy coming in, which drives personnel expenses out to the current level. Then, if we move on to the other expenses on slide six, they have actually decreased year on year, despite the added cost base in the new companies acquired. This is driven by efficiency improvements, particularly in marketing and travel costs, as well as just lower spending on consultants and advisors related to acquisitions, as we are certainly in a relatively focused period on our current business and driving the organic growth. Slide seven now, the operating cash flow. Cash flow from operating activities is always strong in the first quarter and was especially strong this year. Quality of earnings is good. The increase is mostly due to just the higher net profit and also a higher volume of prepaid customer contracts this year. So we are up to almost 55 million euros of operating cash flow here in the first quarter. Moving on to page eight, CapEx. In terms of CapEx, there are two non-operational line items on this slide. The two acquisitions in Holland and Italy, plus then the completion of Campus Koblenz, which is now fully owned by CompuGroup. Continuing investments in tangible and intangible assets is about 3.3 million euros, is at the expected level or maybe even slightly below for this
quarter.
If we move on to the next slide, slide 9, statement of financial position. Since the balance sheet of the 31st of December last year, total assets increased with about 46 million. Most of this comes from just more cash that we hold, and assets from the two acquisitions that we made. The cash position will certainly be reduced as low as possible during this second quarter that we're in now by adjusting the revolving credit facilities. Net debt is down to 218 million, which combined with the improved profitability means that we are actually delevering quite quickly in our current state of operations. On to slide 10, our segments. We've made an adjustment to our segmentation, which means that we now will report the segments according to actually two HPS segments in addition to HCS. Whereas the sub-segments that we all have used to follow up the business remain the same. And whatever was in the old CHF, the consumer health segment in 2011, is included in the HPS 1 figures for comparison. But these figures were, of course, very small. Moving on to slide 11, the sequential revenue development. Per sub-segment, we can see, if we study these figures carefully, that progress is broad-based and fairly evenly distributed, actually, on the different sub-segments. We do have a backup slide and a follow-up on each one of the sub-segments. So I will now move into actually first, just on slide 12, the acquisitions we made in terms of inorganic growth. There are three relevant acquisitions. They are listed here. And together, they give a growth contribution of 18%, all in HPS 1, leaving then the 6% to organic growth. Moving on then to slide 13, the IS development. The core AIS business develops in steady fashion with 6% organic growth. Of course, with 78% recurring revenue, it is a very stable business. There is also some growth coming from the U.S., albeit still at quite a modest level. There is also a slide later on which will go through the latest operational developments in the U.S., so I will leave that for slightly later. But all in all, satisfactory and good development on the IS side. Slide 14, moving on to the pharmacy business. The Lowr Fisher acquisition continues to develop well, also growing compared to the same period last year, which was not consolidated as it was before we acquired the business. But still, it's good to know that the business is expanding. And as we can see from the revenue split, it displays many of the same characteristics of the IS business with a very high proportion of recurring revenue, which is also why we grouped them together in the same HPS 1 segment. And if you think that these pie charts are due to a copy and paste mistake, they are actually not. They are actually identical, the 78%-22% split, identical for both IS and PCS business for this quarter. Moving on to the next slide, the hospital business, slide 15. It's been a good start to the year for this business. This is due to some specific markets mentioned here, Poland, Switzerland, and in the Middle East. And it's essentially growth in these markets that drive the first quarter HIS revenue growth. Moving on now to our HCS sub-segments, communication and data on slide 16. Had a very strong quarter, which was due to some special market conditions that we had. Several big drugs came off patent in this period, and this drives extra demand from generics producers who want to position and establish their substitute drugs in such periods. I think a more realistic run rate for this business is about 1 million euros lower per quarter than what was delivered in the first quarter this year. Moving on to slide 17, workflow and decision support. Not much really to report in this area. It continues to develop at a slow pace, and there are really no significant new developments. Slide 18, we move on to some other material operating events. Of course, the acquisition of Microbice was completed in the quarter, and combined with the established business that we already had in Holland, we now have a sizable position in the Dutch market, particularly in the pharmacy software sector. So we are certainly very happy with how we have been able to move to one of the market leaders in this area in the Dutch market. On to slide 19, another acquisition. This is the second one we completed in the quarter. It was in many sense in similar fashion and spirit as the Dutch acquisition. It is Italy, the market where we already have a strong and established presence. We found an opportunity to further strengthen this and added to our Italian business with the EpiPeffa acquisition. A special type of background to this business, as it was in the past based on the sponsor model with pharma companies, and is now moving into a traditional IS business, and based on the 8,000 GPs that currently are in this customer base, certainly we see some good potential to grow this business alongside and together with our legacy business in Italy. Slide 20, always an area of particular interest, the U.S., and here a short update on this market. It has certainly been a challenging quarter, not just for us, but for many of the other players in the market. The 50-10 situation hit with full force in January and probably peaked during February before starting to fade out in March. And it really impacted everything, including sales, which was down from the previous quarter. Having said that, in the context of everything that really happened in these months, we are quite happy with how we performed during the period and that we actually delivered the strongest quarter to date in the U.S. market. We were able to grow the business slightly year on year and begin to get some decent margins, although they are still not at the group level. Situation in the U.S. is now back to normal. 50-10 is a thing of the past, and we are now back on the program to drive further development in growth and profitability for the U.S. business in the coming quarters this year and thereafter. So, in summary, on page 21, after a good start to the year, we are confident to reach the targets that we have set, and the targets remain unchanged, which means that we expect revenue to be in the range of 440 to 460 million euros, and the EBITDA in the range of 95 million to 105 million euros. So that concludes what we had to present today on slide 22, just a reminder on the financial calendar. Next week, we will have our AGM in Koblenz on May the 9th. And then the next checkpoint in terms of reported figures, second quarter, on August 9th. Finally, the main event of the year, November 14th, third quarter figures, plus the analyst conference, all at the Medica in Düsseldorf. So then, actually in less than 20 minutes, more like 15 minutes, we are on to the Q&A session. If you have questions that you would like to ask, you can hit star 1 on your telephone and you will be queued into the question queue, and we will start to address them as soon as we can.
Yeah, hi, Christian. Good afternoon. It's Gunnar here from Berenberg Bank.
Hi, Gunnar.
I have another two questions, if I may. First one on your personal expenses. You mentioned, obviously, due to the acquisitions, it is increasing. But still, if you do the math, it is increasing faster than your sales. So personal expenses is in relation to sales is increasing over time. Also, kind of have you already seen in previous years. So this is kind of a trend, and why is this the case? And for the full year calculation, we just take the first quarter number, multiply 4. And then the second question would be on your financial result. I mean, you also provide a breakdown in your quarterly report. So there are also, I believe, some one-offs in your Q1 figure. Could you maybe also elaborate a bit what could be a full year figure for the financial result? Thank you very much.
Okay, so first on the personnel expenses, I think the trend that you point to has some different backgrounds. One is that we've had in the past some, say, non-employed outsourced consultants in various areas that gradually have become employees. There's a little bit of a shift going on. We are aware of the trend, and there is, as you could expect, no reason why we should, over time and in the long run, have a faster growing personnel expense compared to our sales. So I think I will ask you to be a little bit patient and measure it over a little bit more longer period, and then hopefully we can see these things swing into more consistent developments.
What do you feel would be kind of maybe a more consistent figure, maybe in percentage of sales?
Yes.
What do you think could be kind of a more long-term figure for personal expenses in relation to sales? Because now it will be, if you take the lower range of your guidance, it will be around 50% maybe of sales this year. This will be obviously higher than last year and the previous year, so growing from 43% in 2009.
Given that we have a clearly stated ambition to drive margins upwards, not just in this quarter, but longer term also, due to, you know, the scalable nature of many parts of our business, you know, I think we should expect a downward trend, nothing dramatic, but of course to sustainably drive margins higher, you know, there needs to be some kind of a downward trend over time in terms of personnel expenses becoming a smaller percentage of sales. But I think I don't have a fixed number for you right now, but it is possible to get to the number by going backwards from some margin targets and, you know, look into the split between other operating expenses and personnel expenses and the COGS, and then make some kind of model that you could hold us accountable to.
Okay, and for the full year, is it fair to assume then 220 or so in terms of personal expenses for this year?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Financial expenses, mm-hmm. So actually, the most unsystematic part is our exposure as it currently stays, which is to the dollar. So the dollar was slightly was slightly down to the euro in the first quarter. Now it's up again. So it depends a little bit on how the dollar swings, but a neutral assumption is that these effects should actually even out and that we should come out more or less plus minus zero towards the end of the year.
So what would be kind of the sustainable figure then? You take this 6.4 million in Q1 minus 1.6 and then multiply four, so around 19, 20 million.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hello, I guess it's my turn. Andreas Wolf, Baruch Research. I have a couple of questions, Christian. Maybe you could put some color on the add-on product that you have sold to your existing customer base in the HPS segment. And then second, the hospital business. You're obviously gaining traction in Switzerland, and I'm just curious whether you are gaining market share from one of the German competitors that is strong there. And maybe you could also put some color on what you expect for the remainder of the year in this sub-segment. And then ISP, third question, is it mainly safe internet connection to the German doctors that is being sold, that is driving sales here? And that was basically it for the time being. Thank you.
Okay. So IAS add-on is following, a nice steady pace. I would say we haven't reached any type of which is fairly broad based. I think we have had for many years and continue to have good growth in this area in Scandinavia. We are growing in Germany, but haven't hit any type of, say, inflection point where it's accelerating. So it really is the steady products, the e-services, the ELAT products, and again, hopefully something that could hit more of an accelerating pace, particularly in Germany. But right now we're still in the early phases of this. Which is very consistent with the previous quarters where we've had similar growth rates. Moving to the hospital business, so the gaining traction in Switzerland, I would maybe be a little bit more cautious compared to what you said in the sense that we acquired this business a little bit more than a year ago when it was challenged, I would say very challenged. So in a sense, we shine a little bit from the weak comp, which was the first quarter last year. I think the gaining of traction is that we have restored confidence with our install base of customers. So they are starting to do upgrades, deployments, and kind of reestablish the relationship with, say, their new vendor and CompuGroup. There isn't any material shift or us moving into the territory of our competitors, I would say, yet. But certainly very good to see that we've been able to stabilize, turn this business around, and reestablish a good relationship with our customers in Switzerland. And then the last point you had, the ISP business, it was maybe more of a statement than a question, but actually this business is actually predominantly in France. But the second part of it is in Germany. So in addition to Germany, it's also a French business.
Okay, thank you. And then two short follow-ups, if I may. You mentioned that in Italy, the business is moving from a sponsored business model to a regular business model. Were there any regulatory changes that have triggered this, or is it just the business model that you are now implementing? And the second one would be on the pharmacy business. Maybe you could put some color on the origins of the organic growth, whether you gained new customers or what was behind. Thank you.
Yeah, so the answer for Italy is quite easy. The sponsor pulled the sponsor contract. It was not regulatory. It was one of the major pharma companies that came to a point where they just said, this doesn't make sense. So this happened, in the process when, and then of course, it needed to move into more of an established IS business. But again, there were no regulatory changes. It was just the sponsor that pulled out. And we saw an opportunity to be the owner to bring it into more of a normal business model. And to your last question, we write something about this, big drugs coming off patents. I will offer you a very prominent example. Internally, we call this the Viagra effect. Viagra came off patent 1st of April this year. And this is one example of, a very important and big drug, which I guess the generic producers have waited long to be able to participate in. And this all happened in the first quarter. But, of course, the Viagra effect only comes once. Okay. So it's a little bit of a one-off.
Okay. My question was a bit more to the pharmacy business, which grew 3%.
Ah, okay. Sorry. Then you got even more information than what was intended. No, this is only, I would say, normal, incremental, developments in the business. Yeah. So I would say a normal inherent growth, supporting more satellite pharmacies. And again, most all of that would be to extend the relationship that we have with our existing customers.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
Christian, there are no further questions now.
Okay, no further questions. Then I thank you all for your participation and attention and would like to welcome you all back to listen in to our next conference call on the quarterly side, which will be on the 9th of August this year. So thank you and have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Your conference has ended. Goodbye.